Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Table Manners. I'm sorry that you can't have Jessie doing the intro as normal, but she's shoving food in her face because it's the best takeaway she's ever had. And she's not cooking and she's eating. And in a minute, she might even speak when she's swallowed the last mouthful of her delicious takeaway from Jaconi.
I'm not going to do another mouthful. I do have 3/4 of the meal left. However, I will be professional. That was not bad, Mum. Thank you so much. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Table Manners. God damn it. I mean, I've been in my pyjamas all day. My son was up all night. I was like, I can't do it. I can't move. Mum brings over chicken soup. I thank you very much. I then order cake on Deliveroo. Anyway, and then Jaconi send me this Zen box.
What is Jaconi, darling?
Jaconi is an amazing restaurant in Marylebone that Jay Rayner took me out to when I did his podcast Out for Lunch.
Oh, yeah.
He took me there. He's been a big fan of Ravinda's cooking for years. She is so glamorous, so wonderful, and like does flavour like no one else. Anyway, she started...
Just like you, darling.
Not today. Anyway, she sent me... They're doing different boxes for different days. And I chose the Zen box because, you know, that's my middle name.
Your Zen.
And it's amazing. It's charred pak choi with sesame and crispy shallots. Silken tofu with black vinegar. Incredible. Crispy cauliflower, caramel cauliflower, and garlic rice. And it is insane.
Ugh.
Mum, you heat it up. Everything's recyclable. And I'm trying to wolf it down. I'm so sorry that you can hear this. But I just want to say thank you to Ravinda, because not only is her restaurant so wonderful and it's such a local kind of neighbourhood spot. I mean, for those people that live in Marylebone, those lucky people. And your chicken soup, the kids wolfed.
Did they like the matzo balls?
Of course they did, Mother. Mum, do you... I know that you're a grandma and a mother and a business partner to me. And
yeah.
But do you want to be my personal chef to my children because they only eat your food?
Yeah.
I'm sick to death of it. Well, I love it. I love that they eat your food, but I'm sick to death.
Did you take my meatballs? Did you give them that?
We're spacing this shit out so that basically they have a Lenny meal every day. It's like their McDonald's. They have a Gaga meal and then like they'll eat it. Anyway, so today we have the activist and model and brilliant Munro Bergdorf coming on. She's had quite the week where she had a triumph with a long... Well, it was a dismissal by... She got fired by L'Oreal for speaking out about white privilege and racism and systematic racism. And now there has been some closure in that and some really positive change this week. And it just shows what happens when people come together and listen and protest and change can happen. So it's amazing what's happened this week for her. I'm really interested to chat to her. I've been following her for a while on Twitter and Instagram, and she's incredibly informative within the trans community, LGBTQ plus community, and black community. So she is a brilliant voice, and I'm looking forward to chatting to her. Munro, thank you for doing this. I know it's been quite a busy week for you, babe. So
it's been a bit of a week.
How are you
doing? Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, it seems every year that I have a scandal. So I'm really happy that this one has been quite positive, and it's been a nice resolve to a situation that's kind of followed me around for the past 3 years. And I don't think in this day and age we really see many resolutions or reconciliations. It seems right. that, you know, we're very polarized in these days, and, you know, everyone's getting cancelled on the internet. People are just, you know, really fed up with how things are. So it's nice to have a bit of good news, and I'm glad to be part of it.
Well, congrats. It's so well deserved. And just to kind of put in context, I guess, why don't you explain it? Because you'll explain it far better than me.
Okay. So 3 years ago, I was let go, shall we say, from a beauty campaign, a makeup campaign by L'Oreal. And my job is, I'm an activist, and I speak about certain topics that may seem controversial to some people. Some people may not have heard of certain things that I speak about. And 3 years ago, no one was really talking about white privilege. We hadn't had that conversation. Within activist circles, everybody was talking about it. And I used my platform to speak about issues that I thought was, you know, important. So I spoke about it, and it was in response to the rally in Charlottesville, the white supremacist rally, where they were holding tiki torches, and a woman was killed because they drove a car into her. And my response to that was very emotional, very angry, very I've had enough of how this country and other Western countries don't own up or speak about their legacy of racism, and it's still here today, and we're not acknowledging it. And I was just basically, I was pissed off. So I said it, and then the Daily Mail ran a story on me and basically called for me to be sacked. I was sacked, and there wasn't really any duty of care. And basically I just, you know, got eaten alive by racist transphobes, homophobes, bigots, sexists, misogynists, pretty much everybody. Yeah. Cut to 3 years in the future, I've established myself as an activist. I think people have a little bit more of an idea about who I am as a person and what I stand for. And we're having all of these conversations with regards to race and gender identity that we weren't having 3 years ago. And I'm really proud of I just wanted to take a minute to say that I'm really proud of our communities, even cisgender women as well, for having conversations such as Me Too and Time's Up, and, you know, the transgender conversation that's come so far in the past 3 years. And now I feel like we're in the process of tying everything together and realizing that just because our journeys are different doesn't mean that they're any less valid than each other, you know, that we should all be there for each other. I should be fighting for cis women should be fighting for trans women, black people should be fighting for white people, and vice versa. So we're getting there now. And then 3 years in the future, L'Oreal posted a post on their Instagram saying that they stand with Black Lives, which would be amazing, but they hadn't wrapped up or dealt with the situation with me. So I was looking at it just like, wait a minute, what about me? So I got angry, and basically you can find the post on my Instagram. I was angry. I was very frustrated, because it plays into a narrative of black women, especially trans black women, being ignored and being the exception from society. And you don't really need to deal with us because we're, you know, the 1%, the other 1%. So, I posted that, and then all of my followers basically rallied behind me and held the brand accountable. The brand was amazing, actually. They took their time to get back to me, but in that time they were putting together a plan to work with me. So we had a conversation on the phone, me and the brand president.
Was she a new brand president?
She's a new brand president. So the team that fired me is not the team that's here now.
Right, okay.
So that was really encouraging for me to hear. Obviously, team members were there, but the people that fired me are no longer in control. And we just had a very vulnerable conversation that was more human to human and woman to woman, rather than, you know, talent to client or talent to brand. And I was just saying, you know, when you employ an activist, you essentially employ someone that is taking their trauma and trying to make something positive out of that. So you've got to take into consideration everything that I've been through and that other people have been through that you employed. So after speaking to the president at L'Oreal, they actually asked me to come on board and consult for them in the UK Diversity and Inclusion Board, which is very exciting because I get to, you know, be a voice for Black people, trans people, queer people, and people that encompass all of those identities as well. And I don't think that enough people realize, you know, how underrepresented we are in the industry. So it's exciting to be that voice in the room and take up a seat at the table. So I'm very happy that it's come to a positive conclusion.
And also, they gave a generous donation to your charity that you're a patron of.
They did. They gave 25,000 euros to Mermaids, which is an amazing charity looking after trans kids and their families. They help trans kids acclimatize to their feelings, or help kids that are going through a transition and their parents understand their kids. So help bring everybody together. And UK Black Pride, 25,000 euros to UK Black Pride, amazing. Which is its annual pride ceremony or event where it's not just for Black people, it's for everybody, but it's celebrating people from culturally diverse backgrounds and different sexualities, different gender identities. It's just basically a safe space where everybody can have fun. There's amazing food, there's cookout stalls, there's live performances, there's debates, everything. So I think it's been a positive week. It's been a closing of a negative chapter and wrapping it up into something good.
That's how I came across you. It was you being, was it the first transgender model that L'Oreal had used? Black transgender model. And so it was like this big celebration.
I was the first trans model, yeah.
Yeah, and it was colour matching, wasn't it? So they were doing all these different foundations. So Clara Amfo was in the campaign. You were in the campaign. All different women were in there with different colour skin. And actually, Clara stepped back from the campaign when they struck you off because she didn't agree and she stood up. And she, I mean, we adore Clara. She's wonderful.
Clara's
she's
kind fantastic.
Of, I mean, I feel like I'm learning so much from both. I mean, so many people out there, but particularly you, Clara. Your platforms have been so educational and informative and important for people like me. So thank you. I want to know, how has lockdown been for you and with all that is going on?
Are you living on your own at the moment?
I'm on my own at the moment, yes. But
so am I. So am I.
It's lovely, isn't it?
kind of, yeah. I'm sick of it.
Oh,
I need to hug someone.
Well, I was locked down with actually a mutual friend of ours, Jessie.
Kate
Moross.
Oh, amazing.
Yes. So I was locked down with Kate, and like they're just the most amazing person, like one of my best friends. And so, yeah, it was lovely. I was locked down with them and their girlfriend. So for the first 2 months, it was phenomenal. And then it got to the point where we were like, maybe I should, like, you know, move out, because I found my tenancy came to an end right at the beginning. My actual tenancy came to an end just as lockdown was about to start. So I was like, how am I going to find a place right now? And Kate was like, you know what, come and live with me. So it was actually really lovely. We had this little queer commune going on and we were there for each other. We all had our bad day, but we didn't have a bad day at the same time as anybody else. So it was really, really, really lovely. And I don't think that it could have been a better lockdown, to be honest.
So okay, you moved out of Kate's and then you found somewhere to live?
I'm living on the river at an undisclosed location.
Lovely.
But I love it. It's beautiful. It's somewhere in East London. And yeah, I haven't lived in East London for about 5 years. So it's a nice change. Mm. And I've got two puppies and one kitten, three adorable little poo makers running around.
Oh,
I know.
So hold on, how many dogs were in Kate's then? It was four dogs.
No, I got them just about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, a COVID puppy. or
well,
two?
Well, it's a COVID. It's a COVID puppies. But
are you mad?
I think I might be because they're having competitions of who can poo and then step in it and then tread it all around the house. God. So it's
are they what sort of puppies are they?
They're very small. So combined, they make up a big puppy. So I've got a Chinese crested, which is like a hairless dog. And I got a hairless cat.
I know. I need to see these. I need to see these dogs and cats.
I'll send you pictures. They're okay, gorgeous. Amazing. And a miniature Yorkshire Terrier.
Are they all getting on well?
They all get on like a house on fire. They do this thing where they all do like a three-way snog.
Oh wow, sounds fun. Mum, you should get involved.
And you see it, you see it, and you're just like, this feels like I shouldn't be here. Like I feel like I'm that person in the situation that isn't having fun.
Are vets open yet?
Vets are open, yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Dentists opened this week, didn't they, Mum? Yep. My poor mother-in-law lost her veneer the first week of lockdown. She's been kind of toothless like this, wouldn't do FaceTime with us.
You know what, though? I had the fear as well because I got my teeth done in Turkey and I just thought, you know, like the borders are shut. So if my tooth go like bad or if one of them falls out, then I'm just going to have to be sat there with like toothless.
Well, one of my veneers came off and I had to... Oh, I thought I was going to kill myself. I rang up 111 as an emergency.
No, you didn't.
I did. I did. And I said, my tooth has come off. And they honestly, he virtually took my blood group, my size of my feet, who I was dating, and then said, we can't help you.
Well, yeah. And I'm probably having a right laugh.
What am I supposed to do? I can't smile and speak. And the man said that I had to stick it in with temporary stuff, which was fine, and I did manage that. But none of the chemists everywhere had sold out of the temporary stuff to stick it back on.
Everyone's teeth were falling out.
Everyone's teeth were falling out.
Oh, man.
And then a friend of a friend did it for me last week, put it back on.
Connections, dental connections.
They look flawless.
So Mum Ro, you're an Essex girl.
I'm an Essex girl. You would never guess, though.
No.
I grew up on the Hertfordshire side.
Darling.
So I went to school, actually, with our mutual friend, Sam Smith.
Did you? I didn't know that.
Not in the same school, but in the same area.
Ah.
So I think that they went to Bishop Stortford College and I went to Bishop Stortford High School.
Got it.
So they're on the same road, pretty much. So yeah, I think Charlie XCX was in our town as well at that time.
A hub of creatives and activists.
Random.
Amazing.
Yeah. Do you know what, actually, though? It's such a dead area. Like, there's literally nothing going on. And I think that it really just forces you, if you are creative or if you do want the world to change, then you've got a lot of time to think about it. So, yeah, I came from that area.
Do you come from a big family?
I don't. I have a brother. He lives in Canada. And he's super cool. He does marketing for a yoga firm, I believe. But yeah, my parents are still together and I'm very like both of them, but in different ways. Like my dad is very, very chilled out, but then explodes. He like bottles things up emotionally, then explodes. And my mum is very, very feisty and goes for what she wants and won't listen to the word no. And so I've got both of them inside of me in different aspects.
What did your dad and mum, did they work?
Yeah, my dad is a carpenter, but he's retired. And my mum is also retired and she was the head of Europe for a banking PR firm.
Oh, wow.
I know. She was very businessy and my dad was very creative.
So what was on the dinner table? Who was cooking dinner? What were you eating? What's a really memorable meal from your childhood?
Very memorable meal from my childhood is chicken. Just chicken every single way. And I feel like... From like Jamaican chicken to Spanish chicken to roast chicken, it was always very much the meal that would bring us together. So you would know that one of my parents was in a good mood if they were cooking chicken. So,
what did they cook when they were in a bad mood?
Beans on toast.
Oh my! Probably didn't mind it though, did you? You were probably like, fine.
I love beans on toast. Yeah, but yeah, it's very much like a meal that I cook myself now. If I miss my parents or if I miss home comforts, if I'm away, then Spanish chicken's my go-to and something very spicy. I think that spices have always been something that I've been raised with and make me feel a certain kind of way in fulfilled. And I don't know, there's a richness to spice, isn't there? It just brings back memory. And chicken and spices always bring back the good times.
So what's the Spanish chicken? What's in a Spanish chicken?
So Spanish chicken, oh my God. Spanish chicken is paprika, but also chili. Yeah. So it's a bit of a bastardized Spanish chicken. Mm. Honey and tomatoes, fresh vine tomatoes.
Would you ever put chorizo in there or not?
I'm not a big chorizo girl, you know.
Me neither, actually.
I love it.
Do you eat by flavour or consistency?
Ooh, Monroe, you may have just given us the question of the series that we may have to ask everybody.
Really?
I've never, ever thought about this.
It's true, though. All the great... Well, on MasterChef, they always say it gives it a crunch or a different texture or...
Yeah, what's your go-to? What's your go-to? Texture of it? Because I'm much more of a texture person. If something has a horrible texture but tastes nice, I can't eat it. It needs to have a bit of both, but I need a good texture.
So, hon, so you're not a dal kind or a soup person then?
No, I'm not a soup person. I can't eat soup.
Oh, how strange.
Interesting.
Yeah. If I have soup, then it needs to be a thick soup, like a custardy soup. I can't have like a miso or something. Well,
that is like my worst texture. One of those chunky vegetables literally look like vomit in my...
I love that.
And that's the kind of soup that you go for.
But I don't like pears because I don't like the texture.
Okay, so maybe.
They're kind of grainy, you know, earthy.
I love a pear texture.
Oh, you see?
We are yin and yang tonight. Yeah.
Funny.
No, I'm a flavour person. I'll do anything as long as it's got good flavour. That's my thing. I'm sticking with that. That is my final answer.
Do you know what is absolutely incredible? Something called tahine.
Tahine or tahini?
Is it tahini or tahine?
Is it spicy or...
You put it on enchiladas and it's kind of like sweet but spicy. And it's,
oh, I don't
it's
know
like,
about this.
It's like a
salt... I'm Googling it now.
It's like a salty kind of...
How do you spell it?
T-A-G-I-N. You can put it on a watermelon and it tastes the most amazing thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Is it the stuff that you have with margaritas around the rim?
It might be.
No, that's salt, you dope.
No, it's like spicy with a bit of lime. It's quite like...
Oh, yeah, it might citrusy. Be that. It might be that.
Yeah, I bought that. I bought that. That was a lockdown buy for me.
Isn't it the most incredible thing that you've ever tasted?
It's excellent. Oh. It works very well on avocado on toast.
Okay.
Can I tell you a recommendation for a watermelon that I found out on lockdown? If there is a yellow circle... Do you know this already?
No.
If there is a yellow circle on the skin, on the outside, it'll be like a little faded yellow circle on the skin. It means it's going to be a sweet one.
Oh, because there's nothing more disappointing.
And it's been a game changer.
There's nothing more disappointing about getting a melon that doesn't taste of anything.
Oh, it just doesn't taste. Agreed. So growing up, was it your mum or your dad doing the cooking or was it a bit of both?
It was mainly my mum. My mum did kind of, you know, the big meals. My dad did the after school meals. He was very much like a beige food guy. Unless it was spaghetti bolognese or chili. He does a really good chili. Chili's also my go-to dish as well. I love doing like a chock-a-block chili, which isn't really a chili because it's got too many different vegetables in it that aren't traditional to chili. But I just think it's a great way for me to load up on my vitamins because if I, you know, I will just work and forget to eat. And also I used to have anorexia. So sometimes when I'm stressed or go through a stressful situation, I perhaps don't eat as much as I should do. So it's a really, really good way of me loading up on all of my vegetables and vitamins. And yeah, I just find it really, really hearty. I just think it makes me feel really warm inside and reminds me of my dad and reminds me of my my mum as well when she cooks it. So I don't know. I always gravitate towards food that reminds me of my parents. I've never really thought about that before.
Do you see them a lot now?
I haven't seen my parents since just before lockdown. So I saw them just... Oh my God, have I seen them this year? I saw my mum for her birthday in January, and then that was the last time that I've seen them. Oh God, I'm going to cry.
Don't, you make me cry. I cry very easily.
I really miss them.
Yeah, when she moved out, I she was living with me. And I loved it because I had my grandchildren there.
You didn't say you loved it that much. You whined about me and my mess.
I didn't love the mess. Yeah, your mess. Jessie's very messy.
So am I. I'm awful.
Creative. Oh, it's creative.
Is it? Is it because you're creative? Yeah, create mess.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Were you an activist at school?
I wasn't. You know what? I had the worst experience at school. I was the only black kid and I was the only out gay kid as well. I came out when I was 14. So I came out very, very early. There was no hiding it anyway, to be honest. And yeah, I just didn't really fit in and I was bullied a lot. So I, in turn, was very hostile to other people because I was scared of, you know, either being let down or that they would turn on me or that they would bully me. So I very much, you know, just kept everybody at arm's length. And there was a point where I was eating my food at lunchtime in the toilets because I had no friends to eat with. So it wasn't a great experience, no.
Did you leave school at six, as soon as you could at 16?
I didn't, you know. I went all the way through to university. I was
Brighton.
One of these. Yeah, I went to Brighton University and I love Brighton so much. Yeah, I didn't really apply myself in school and I really wish that I could have, but I just hated it. So I don't know. This is why I try to encourage kids to, you know, not just accept themselves, but to accept each other so that it translates and creates a more harmonious environment that kids can really apply themselves in school. Because there was no way that I was going to be able to, you know, get out of school without, oh my God, I keep on like crying. There was no way that I was going to be able to apply myself with dealing with what I had to deal with at school, especially, you know, I grew up during the time of Section 28, so I wasn't allowed to tell the teachers that I was being homophobically bullied because they couldn't talk about it. So it was a very, very difficult time. Yeah.
Sorry, explain to me Section 20. I don't.
People were not allowed to talk about or teach anything to do with homosexuality in schools. It was not allowed. It was illegal.
This blows my mind.
Yeah.
It was really bad, yeah. And then I got to sixth form and then I started applying myself more and I was able to leave there with three Bs.
They must have known that you were being bullied.
Oh, they all knew, but they couldn't say anything. They couldn't do anything because they couldn't reprimand the other students for doing it because they couldn't actually acknowledge.
Or try and educate them. Yeah,
yeah, and they couldn't say that homophobia is wrong because that is promoting homosexuality.
Oh, my.
So it was really horrendous, yeah.
But this was in the noughties.
This was in the noughties, yeah, early noughties.
It implies that we were like in the kind of the Victorian times, or like this is—it's mad.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. And you look at what was happening in a wider sense as well, with, you know, who was in government in America and who was in government in the UK, and the damage that's been done to the queer communities, and how a lot of queer people are still dealing with that trauma of, you know, growing up underneath that legislation, and how that's now intertwined in our behaviours and our relationships, and it's a lot to deal with. But I think that we're really in a period of time now where we're unpicking all of these different different things. And this is why I'm so behind Black Lives Matter, because we're picking apart society and saying, you know what, having statues of slave masters isn't British. That doesn't need to be quintessentially British. And I feel like a lot of people are saying that taking down those statues is erasing history, but we need to understand that we live in a multicultural society, and if we want equality, then we need to push for a society that includes everybody. So I'm really excited to live in this time. Really excited.
I want to know, so you transitioned when you were 24?
So I started my transition when I was 24, but I knew that I wanted to transition when I was 18. So there was a period of time when I was in denial, but also understanding that this was going to happen at some point. But I wasn't ready until I was 24 or 23. I can't really remember. It was like a blurry period of time.
Who did you talk to then? Were you able to talk to your parents or your brother?
You know what? Me and my parents haven't always had the relationship that we have now. There was a period I didn't talk to my parents for about a year and a half, actually. We fell out for a year and a half. Around the time that I told my mum that I was trans, I think, because my mum is such a passionate, stubborn woman, I think that she just found it very hard to deal with the idea that she didn't know her own child. It wasn't the fact that she was transphobic. It wasn't the fact, because she didn't take me coming out as gay well either. I think it's the idea of not knowing something about the people that you love. And I didn't, of course, understand that at the time. I just thought, oh my God, she's a bigot. I can't believe that. You know, all of these kind of horrible thoughts that you should never have. But my dad actually brought us back together, and we had the worst relationship growing up. My dad is an old school Jamaican macho man, and he wanted a lad as a son, and he didn't get a son or a lad. So it was very difficult for them to understand me, I think. And I found it very difficult to understand myself. So yeah, my dad actually brought us back together, and I never saw that happening. I never saw him accessing that vulnerable part of himself. And that really came out of him on the other side of him having cancer, because we fell out when he got cancer as well. So we've been through a lot as a family, actually, and it's really brought us closer. So I'm really, really thankful, actually, for adversity. I think it's been a real eye-opener to the fact that, you know, nothing is really a bad situation, because there's always a lesson to be learned from it, or there's always something more positive on the other side of it. It might be hard in the meantime, but there's always something positive to come out of anything.
Were you speaking to your mum when you were kind of, as you said, kind of getting fed to the wolves after L'Oreal?
Yes,
you were speaking to, it must have been, I mean, look, it was hard enough watching you. I mean, you were so bloody calm and brilliant in front of Piers Morgan. Thanks, on, babe. You know, good, you know, I've seen you with him, and I mean, you're brilliant, but I can just imagine as a mother, it must have been quite hard for your mum. Right.
I think it was. I just told her at one point, you need to start reading the news, because I don't think up until that point, my mum didn't realise that the news isn't necessarily always the news. It's, you know, every single newspaper has its own agenda. So once I had educated my mum on how the media works, because I studied media at university, so that actually helped me a lot in understanding what was happening to me. It took a long time for her to understand, because my mum's white, my dad's black, so my mum wasn't really privy to a lot of the conversations that I was having about white privilege, because my mum's from a working class background. So she was like, where's my white privilege? And understandably. And then once I talked to her about, you know, imagine how much harder your life would be if you were black on top of being working class, and having those kind of conversations. So again, it brought us closer. It was very much a crash course, but we got there, and she's always been there for me throughout this whole period of time we've had ups and downs, but now she finds articles that I'm in and sends them to me and says, oh, this is a great write-up, isn't it? Yeah, I'm really proud that I get to make them proud.
I wanted to ask, we ask everyone what their last supper or desert island meal would be. You've got a starter, a main, a pudding, and a drink of choice.
So I've got an obsession with octopuses.
Oh.
Yeah, alive octopuses. Sorry, that I will get to a point. but because they're so intelligent and they don't share DNA with anything. Yeah, they're hyper intelligent beings.
Don't ruin eating octopus. Hold on a minute.
I'm sorry.
Come on, tell me then. Come on.
So they're hyper intelligent beings, and a lot of them can do things that, you know, not many other beings can do on this earth, like change color or shoot ink out of their bodies and stuff like that.
Anyway. That is a good trick, that shooting ink.
Yeah, I know, right? And they don't share DNA with anything else on this planet. So technically they are aliens.
Really? How do you know all this?
I'm obsessed with them.
I'm a big fan of octopus. Do you call them octopuses or do you call them octopi?
Octopi, oh, octopi, darling.
Okay. I say octopuses because octopi just sounds a bit, doesn't it?
You sound like a wanker, don't you?
Yeah, I was going to say that, but your mum's present. So yes, I feel guilty eating them. But if it was my last meal, if it was my last supper, then that means that I couldn't eat any more. And I don't eat them purposely because they're so intelligent. So I would have an octopus as my last meal because
so you do love the taste.
Do you have calamari or octopus?
I would have octopus because calamari tastes different. Octopus is more meaty. It's like much more.
But it's
rich
very rubbery.
No, it's not.
Only if it's cooked badly.
So where have you had really good octopi? Where have you had good octopi?
Yeah,
I think Italy.
Okay,
I think Italy. I've had good octopus in Italy.
Do you like your octopus stuffed?
Mum always gets an innuendo in there or something. Yeah, I mean, you know.
That's what I've seen, an octopus stuffed with stuff
like
in the middle.
Rice and
so
stuff.
So you take
really?
The tentacle off and you stuff
Ooh,
it with yes, rice
nice.
And
oh, we'll have
tomato
some of that.
Or something like that.
We'll have some of that. Okay, so that's starter.
And then you braise it. You kind of braise it in wine.
Nice. Barcelona. I've had good octopus in Barcelona as well.
Yeah, because they do that as tapas, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you like seafood then?
I do like seafood. I was actually going to say lobster for my main.
Oh, see, I don't think I've ever had phenomenal lobster. I know I should love it, but I feel like it never gives me what I need apart from if it's in a lobster roll. So how would you have your lobster?
So this is quite obscene, but I think as it's the end of my life, I would like to have a very old lobster. Like, they live quite long, don't they? They can live like...
Why would you want an old one for taste?
Yeah, apparently the older they are, the more tasty they are. And I saw a documentary where they ate a 60-year-old lobster. And I just thought, oh, that would be really, really mean. But if it's the end of my life and it's a very important meal, then we can share the end of days.
How do they know a lobster is 60?
It must be the colour.
I think it's the tail. The longer their tail, I think.
So you get more meat. Don't quote me on this. So you get more meat?
I think you get more meat.
Okay, I'm
in. They're
big,
they're huge.
I'm having a Prince Ribbit lobster, that's it.
Jessica! Don't say that, you'll have your head chopped
99
off.
Years
you'll be
of
put
age.
Put in the tower.
Anyway, carry on.
They're absolutely beautiful. So yeah, I'd have a nice meaty lobster.
Lovely.
And like all of like the dipping sauces and stuff like that.
So the longer you live, the bigger your tail.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
There's a metaphor in that.
Somewhere.
What's your pudding?
My pudding, I'm a chocolate fiend, so it would be a platter. I would like a whole table full of different chocolates, from chocolate ice cream to chocolate fudge sundae. Actually, maybe like a really big chocolate sundae with all different kinds of chocolate in it, and multiple spoons for my friends.
Oh, they're all there.
They're all there.
That's very sweet.
You're going to be sick, Monroe.
It's okay. I'm going to die anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
What's your favourite drink? What's your drink? Do you drink wine or do you like cocktails?
I don't drink wine. I like a margarita.
Mm.
because tequila gets me so drunk so quickly. And I'm not the kind of person that likes to drink a lot. I don't drink really unless I'm going out or if it's a celebration.
So you're not, unlike everybody else in lockdown who's been looking at their watch at 4 o'clock saying, is it a bit early for a glass of wine?
No, I don't. I barely drink.
That's when you're reaching for the chocolate, right?
Yes, it's when I'm reaching for the chocolate, or I drink a lot of tea.
So I want to know, what was on the front of your lunchbox? Did you have a superhero?
Probably the Spice Girls.
Oh, really?
I was obsessed with the Spice Girls. Like, Jerry Halliwell was my god. Jerry Halliwell and Mel B literally were my queens. I like stand the Spice Girls so hard in school.
Have you got big hair?
My hair is actually quite big. I won't take it out because it's wet.
Yeah,
but like it's down to here. So
you've got Scary Spice hair.
I do have Scary Spice. We've got the same kind of curl texture as well. I always just look to her because like I don't think enough people actually give Mel B credit for what she did when there was no representation in pop for mixed race girls,
it's true.
Black girls either, even in like the 90s. So like to be out there rocking natural hair and like, you know, in a mainstream pop outfit, it was just incredible.
It was really, somebody put up on their Insta stories today a clip, and I'm sure you've seen it, but of the Spice Girls on, I think it's a Dutch TV show, and all these people come in with blackface.
Oh yeah, and no, I've seen that before.
You're kidding.
I mean, this, and Mel B says, this is the 90s, you should have got some black people. This is, and he went, oh no, it's traditional, and she's challenging them. And like, I can't imagine how horrendous that must have been. Also, the fact that she was speaking up.
I can't imagine
a black
like,
woman
this,
speaking up in the 90s, she's probably like, it, when she got surrounded by.
She probably got told off for saying that, to be honest.
Well,
like,
yeah, I wonder. But I mean, it was, it just, it kind of blows your mind.
Really does.
On your Instagram today, you have posted a few, I'm sure this is a very small number of messages you get a lot when you speak out. And I thought it was a really powerful post that you did. The shit that you get sent is disgusting, and it's wild, and I'm
it's wild.
It must be so exhausting for you.
It's exhausting, but I want people to see it, you know.
Yeah,
I
right.
want people to understand the difference in approach from speaking out, you know. We're in a culture at the moment where, in a moment in time where more and more people are using their voices, but when women were speaking out with Me Too, I don't think that society really understood that when a woman speaks out against sexual harassment or rape, she has actually more to lose than the man who's been accused of rape in a lot of the time. So when a black person speaks out about racism, it's very, very different to when a white person speaks out about racism. It's almost like that black person will be attacked and the white person will be seen as a hero for speaking out about it. So I just want people to bear that in mind, that everybody that is a person of color that's speaking out right now, there is a real cost, and that cost can be on our mental health, or it can be on our physical safety, or it can be, as we've seen with me in the past, you know, we can lose our jobs. So I'm proud that I've got a platform that I can educate people, and I just want people to think. I'm not, you know, trying to change people as people. You know, you can only lead a horse to water. But if I can provide case studies for people to understand their behavior and where they fall within society and how they can be part of the change as well. Because I saw something on the internet the other day, and it said it's not black versus white, it's everybody versus racists. And I think that is the most powerful thing that I've seen in this whole movement, that it's here to bring us all together.
I want to know, where is the first place you're going to go and eat once old lockdown's finished? Where are you longing to be with your friends?
You know what? I just am craving a Nando's.
You can get that now, though, babe.
I know, but I really just want to sit there. I want to sit there. But that was like my jokey one. But it sounds really, really bougie.
Come on, give it to me. Nobu?
Not Nobu.
Sexy Fish?
Hakkasan.
Oh, God, you are retro, girl.
I love their black cod.
It's good.
Their black cod is so good. I just go there for the black cod and the soft shell crab.
It's fucking good. Their black cod is good.
It's so good.
But I'm sure Munro's got a little story about a crab now, because she seems to know about everything under the sea. She's like Ariel.
You're fucking Ariel.
I just went on a date to Hakkasan, and it was like the worst day ever, but the food was amazing. And if the food wasn't there, then I would have walked, but I stayed because I wasn't paying and the food was great.
Yes, girl.
Mama, you say you can't sing, but I'm very big fan of karaoke. And do you like karaoke?
I do, but I wouldn't recommend it for me.
But you don't need to sing, but what would your song be? What do you think defines you? Oh, it's going to be...
What do you think it's going to be?
Well, it's going to be like an Aretha song or something.
You think it's going to be an Aretha?
Spice Girls.
Or maybe... No, you're right, the Spice Girls.
Okay, so my go-to for karaoke is either Missy Elliott.
Oh, which one?
Get Your Freak On.
Good choice.
Or Nicki Minaj, because I'm actually a really good Nicki Minaj impersonator in terms of... No,
sorry, Miranda. Right, you know what the teaser's going to be now, babes. You've got to fucking do it. Everyone knows you for being an actor first and fighting the good fight. Nobody knows your Nicki Minaj impression. You need to give it to us now. I'm sorry.
I can't do it. I'm too shy, Jesse. I'm too shy. Performance anxiety.
How did you find out that you could do a Nicki Minaj impression?
Well, alcohol and peer pressure.
Damn, we should have plied you with drinks. This is it. I'm now longing to know this impression. But
yeah, normally we invite people over to one of our houses and we cook for them.
Oh, wow.
And that's what we would have done for you. Oh. And I wish we had, because you're so lovely. I'd love to met you and been in person. Can I ask you, have you got good table manners?
I think so. My mum told me that manners cost nothing, and I try to live my life by that. And you know how you treat people and how you make people feel, and no elbows on the table, and don't eat until the host is sat down, and things like that. So I think so.
And what's the table manner manner that you hate in someone else?
Oh my god, I hate when people eat with their mouth open. It's the worst thing ever, especially if you cooked...
Did that happen on the date at Hakkasan, babe?
No, actually, he was... I don't like materialistic people. I like nice things, but I don't like people that think that they can buy you. And he was just very much that kind of guy. Like, I've got so much money and, you know, you're lucky to be here. And I was like, don't make me feel like this. So,
but I'll enjoy my black cod.
I'm going to eat the food that you're buying, but you'll never see me again. but yeah, no, I don't like people that eat with their mouth open. I think it's the visual as well as the sound. It's just really off-putting for me. And also people that like scrape their cutlery on their plate.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's done that one before. I understand what you mean.
It annoys me, Jesse.
What are you watching, actually? I want to know what you're watching in lockdown.
Oh, my God. RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
I'm obsessed. I'm such a big drag fan. I'm obsessed. I've always been obsessed. I actually worked in drag at one point in my life.
When?
Did you?
When?
Once upon a time. I worked at a club called Madame Jojo.
That's famous.
It's very famous. Soho. Yeah, in Soho. Is that the beginning of my transition? I worked in drag, and it wasn't necessarily performing. It was just very much like kind of like club hosting and DJing. I DJed as well once upon a time. That's my community, and I know quite a few of them in real life, and it just makes me really proud to see that drag has come into the mainstream and that people see it for what it is. And it's just fun. It's just empowering. And, you know, it's got nothing to do necessarily about gender. It's more about expression, and you know that we've all got masculine and feminine inside of us, and anybody can do drag, anybody can celebrate the different parts of themselves. So
what was your drag name?
My drag name was Monroe Bergdorf, and it just stuck, and I just kind of carried it on. My real name is Eva.
I wondered where you got the Monroe Bergdorf from.
It's my drag name, but I just kind of kept it because it stuck.
Why that though, particularly?
Well, Monroe, two people in my friendship group had the same birth name as me. And I won't say what my birth name is because nobody needs to know. But it was, I was the last to join the friendship group, and they were like, well, you need to change your name because you're the youngest. So we changed it to Monroe because I had... You know, Mutia from the Sugar Babes. I had the same piercing as her back in the day.
Oh, like Marilyn Monroe's beauty spot.
Yeah. So it was Monroe. And I was like, well, I don't want to be called Monroe. So let's change it to Monroe. And then I went to New York on holiday with my parents. And we walked past Bergdorf Goodman.
I thought that.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, that's a fancy shop. And I love the name Bergdorf. So why don't I just be Monroe Bergdorf? And so it stuck. And it just became like, I don't know, I just drew power from it. It just, I don't know, whenever I was in drag, I just felt like I was my optimum self because I could just be as expressive as I wanted it to be.
Such a good name.
And yeah, it's very gender neutral. It's not necessarily a draggy name, you know, it's not like a pun or anything. And it just kind of stuck. And Monroe just became my nickname. My mum calls me Monroe every now and again if she's being playful and in a good mood. But yeah, Eva is my personal name. Eva, this is Eva right now without makeup on, and at home it's very much like a Lady Gaga and Stephanie situation, or a Pink and Alicia situation, or a Lana Del Rey and what's her real name? Elizabeth. I think it's Elizabeth.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, everyone's got drag names, you know. Everything's drag. It's just, you know, wherever. It's like your character, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess.
Well, I'm Lenny, darling, and I'm really Helena.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's your drag name.
I've always had one. I've been there way before everyone.
You're a pioneer of the drag name, this star name.
Yep.
Munro, you have been, well, a delight, and it's a pleasure to chat to you. I'm so inspired by you and your platform, and
you
educate me every day, and I thank you for saying the things that maybe I don't feel that I can articulate well enough, and also, yeah, educating me day to day. So thank you
so much for having me.
I'm so glad that, you know, has been a positive ending to this L'Oreal story.
I am too.
And it's totally deserved. And I, please keep on fighting the good fight because you're so brilliant at it.
You're such a positive person. I imagine that you make most things very positive out of everything that you experience. Yeah, I think you are a positive person.
I think it's important. I think that, you know, so many people feel bogged down in the bad things that happen to them. And, you know, you can take that and turn it into something that you draw strength from. And, you know, I look back at the past 3 years and they've been really, really tough, but I feel really strong because of it. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. As are you, my darling.
I love Monroe Bergdorf. I love Eva.
Yes, so gentle, so sweet.
I think it just shows how the media can portray one, and also someone that speaks their mind and is infuriated and impassioned can, you know, you see her up against Piers Morgan, you see her coming, you know, challenging people every day, and she wouldn't bloody give me a Nicki Minaj impression because she was like, oh God, I can't do it. I love Monroe.
Yeah, very serene, very dignified.
It's been such a exhausting week for her, I think. Well, years for her. I think I first came across the term white privilege through Monroe, speaking so openly about it 3 years ago. And as she said, when she was fed to the wolves, you know, and and attacked left, right and centre for speaking her mind. And, you know, you see where we are now, 3 years on, and there's no bitterness there. There's no, like, I told you. There's, like, I'm so glad that we're moving forward. She's inspiring and excellent. And
but that is a true activist, someone who makes a positive out of negatives and can move things forward. Because that's what her raison d'etre is, to move things forward and improve things. So you don't, that's why, like Nelson Mandela, you're not bitter if you can make a difference and change things. So her whole raison d'etre is to promote change.
And you think about her upbringing and her journey to get where she is now, and it hasn't been easy at all. And, you know, she's experienced bullying from such a young age. Then she experiences it in this very public way. Yet she never gives up. I'm just... yeah, inspired. Well, thank you, Mum Ro, for a wonderful chat. And thank you, Mum, for telling everyone that your drag name is Lenny. I want to know, we need to get a surname. Lenny Darling, is that your drag name? Don't know. Answers on a postcard. Everyone email in to Table Manners. Yeah.
I think email. We all need a drag
and,
name.
And I hope everyone is okay. I have something that if I could ask the listeners of Table Manners, I put it up on my Instagram, my Jessie Ware Instagram, and it's just if you could spare a minute to sign and share this petition for Nur Cash and Carry. It's a family-run food supplier that's facing eviction during the pandemic, and they have some horrendous landlords that have decided to hike up the prices and they're getting pushed out. They've been there for like over 20 years. They are so important.
They are Brixton,
South London. They serve so many communities. Caribbean, West African and Middle Eastern families really rely on this Cash and Curry, this brilliant shop, to access like their food, heritage food. So I would just ask everyone to maybe read up on it if they want to, or sign the petition. It's just unfair that this brilliant, important shop that has been part of Brixton's history and food culture long before all the gentrification was happening. They've been there and they've served the community for so long. I'd just love everyone to maybe have a moment to read about it and sign the petition, because it just seems absolutely disgusting that this shitbag landlord is hiking up the rents, especially during a bloody pandemic. So there's an Instagram called Save Nur, and it's N-O-U-R. Or you can just find it on my Instagram or the Instagram save_Nur. Mum's going to eat. I'm going to go and have another massive glass of wine.
And I'm going to come and give you a hug now.
So what, you're allowed to hug me?
Yeah.
Oh, Mum, can't wait. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Oh, by the way, if you didn't know, I've got an album coming out quite soon, but you've probably heard it on all the adverts.
Well, 26th of June.
Yeah, it's changed. It's moved back a week. It's 26th of June.
What's Your Pleasure? Fabulous, darling.
It is very good, I have to say. Imagine if all of you that listen to this bought my record. I'd actually... my label wouldn't know what hit them. It would actually... I mean, it would be record-breaking for me. You don't have to buy it. But you know what? We do give you a free podcast every fucking week. So just think about that. How many hours of pleasure you have had via these
Jessica.
Dulcet tones of Lenny and Jessie Ware. Please, can you just cough up? I'll make you all a cake. Please buy it. Or just stream it loads. Just put it on repeat on Spotify. Do what you want. Right, I'm going to bed. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.